Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Consciously Blooming. I'm your host, Natalie Green, and I'm so happy to have you here today. For this week's episode, I wanted to discuss the mind-gut connection. Now, this one is going to get pretty nitty-gritty, definitely scientific, but I'm still going to try to keep it very basic just so that you can have a higher level understanding of that connection, because obviously I'm not a scientist or a doctor, so I don't know everything about it, but I've done a lot of research to try and give you a great episode today and a better understanding of that connection. Now, before we jump right in, we'll begin as we always do with what I've been into and what I've been up to this past week. What I've been into. As you might recall from last week's episode, we celebrated my friend Gina's birthday and I made her birthday cake. And it was a lavender cake with a blackberry filling and buttercream cheese frosting, which I was very happy with how it came out. She seemed to enjoy it too, so I'm glad she liked it. But I have a lot of leftover lavender from making that cake, culinary lavender. So I just made some lavender simple syrup and actually put it in my matcha latte instead of honey like I normally do to add some lavender floral notes to the matcha latte. So good. I love lavender anything. So to be able to make a lavender latte at home, hook, line, and sinker, I'm done. So loving that and just trying to find ways to use that lavender because, like I said, I absolutely adore lavender and making simple syrup is so easy. So if you want to make your own lavender simple syrup, all you got to do is combine 1 cup of sugar, 1 cup of water, 1 tablespoon of dried culinary lavender, and then you just turn that on, let it come to a boil, let it simmer, and then let it steep for 30 minutes, and boom, you've got your own lavender syrup. What I have been up to. So I feel like it's really summer glow up vibes right now. I feel like I'm doing all of the things to try and get like really summer ready. The sun has started to shine. It started to get really hot in SoCal. Not today. It's actually very chilly and rainy today as I'm recording this. But this week, it's supposed to be very hot and sunny, and it was last week too. So I've been getting my tan on, trying to get a little bit of color, and I just got a haircut. So a good little refresh, a little trim, and, you know, just getting on those summer glow up vibes, making sure I'm taking really good care of my skin, whitening my teeth, all those things. That's really what I've been up to a lot recently, and this is a good time to be doing it. April is a good time to be getting prepped for that summer sunshine and great weather. Let's talk about the mind-gut connection. You might be thinking, is this an episode on eating when your stomach growls? The answer is no. There is so much more communication that goes on between your gut and brain than just knowing when you're hungry or full. I also want to make a disclaimer that this is not woo-woo or some kind of fad. This phenomenon is a fact whether you choose to believe it or not. It is a science-based connection that researchers are still trying to learn more about and understand better each and every day. Think about the common sayings we hear in everyday life. Go with your gut, or I have butterflies in my stomach. These are referencing the mind-gut connection. So let's try to understand how the gut can even communicate. Scientists have begun referencing the gut as our second brain. I know this sounds crazy and weird, but it's true. The keys to this communication are the walls in your digestive system or the enteric nervous system, ENS for short. Now, the ENS is comprised of 2 layers of over 100 million nerve cells. The ENS lines your gastrointestinal tract from your esophagus to your rectum. In other words, from beginning to end. Now, the ENS cannot think the same way that the brain does. It can't get creative or help you solve a math equation. It more so regulates the breakdown of food and the absorption of nutrients into the body, says research done by MDJ Pashricha. This mind-gut connection forms from the unexpected communication between the mind and gut, referred to as the gut-brain axis. I should also mention that the ENS has more than 500 million neurons, making it the most complex neural network outside of the brain. The gut and brain are also connected physically by the vagus nerve, which also sends communication both ways. One example of this can be seen through emotions, oddly enough. There are these chemicals in our brain that help to control feelings and emotions called neurotransmitters. One well-known neurotransmitter we are all familiar with is serotonin. Serotonin helps regulate our internal clocks and feelings of happiness. Well, a large portion of neurotransmitters, and specifically serotonin, are produced in the gut. They also produce short-chain fatty acids, or SCFAs, which reduces our appetite. These SCFAs are produced after eating fiber. Both of these chemicals impact our mood or overall feelings. If you have a boost in serotonin, you'll probably feel happy. If you have a boost in SCFAs, you'll likely not feel hungry anymore and will be satisfied. I also do want to mention how the microbes in your gut also play a vital role in regulating the inflammation in your body. Lipopolysaccharide, LPS, is made by certain bacteria and is an inflammatory toxin that causes inflammation if too much of it is absorbed into the blood. We have talked many times about how bad inflammation is for the body, especially constant inflammation, and high LPS in the blood has even been associated with several brain disorders such as schizophrenia, depression, and dementia. Researchers have begun to study how functional bowel issues, such as constipation, bloating, an upset stomach, etc., can trigger emotional shifts such as anxiety and depression. It was always known that the two likely went hand in hand and that the emotional issue might be triggering the digestion issues, not the other way around. Research also points out that the digestive activity in our body may also affect our memory and thinking skills. This one makes a lot of sense as to why they always say you shouldn't go into taking a test hungry. Your memory or critical thinking skills may not be as sharp. A few conditions and disorders that are related to the gut-brain axis are anxiety and depression, chronic stress, chronic fatigue or pain, obesity, neurodivergent disorders like Parkinson's disease, and so much more. Let's dive a little deeper into the gut itself. We are comprised of bacteria on an almost 1-to-1 ratio of bacteria and cells. You heard that right. You have about as many bacteria on/in you as you do cells. A lot of these bacteria are either good for us or harmless. And a lot of these bacteria live within our gut, thinking back to the microbiome I mentioned earlier. There are many different kinds of gut bacteria, some better for us than others, but really they all need to be balanced. A majority of any one type of bacteria can cause a lot of gut issues. One hot topic item that I know I have been hearing a lot about in this gut health space is about probiotics and prebiotics. Probiotics are living organisms that are believed to provide health benefits when ingested. They can be different strains of bacteria or types of yeasts from fermentation. Some people prefer to take probiotic supplements, but I prefer to get mine from foods such as yogurt, kimchi, which is a huge favorite of mine, kefir, sauerkraut, and other fermented foods. Prebiotics are the carbs that feed the good bacteria in our gut. A few foods that are considered prebiotics are garlic, apples, asparagus, onions, leeks, flax seeds, and seaweed, all eaten raw. None of this is me telling you that you need to go out and buy a probiotic or a prebiotic. That is something you should review with your doctor. And going out and taking these supplements on your own can cause even more issues depending on the strain within the probiotic or prebiotic you choose. You may end up causing an overgrowth of one type of bacteria that can cause issues in your gut health, such as obesity, type 2 diabetes, colorectal cancer, and others. Like I said earlier, you don't want to have too much of one gut bacteria present as it can cause those issues. But eating the above-mentioned foods should be good for your gut bacteria and health if you're presently at a steady state in your gut health. The health of your gut microbiome is vital for the efficient absorption of key nutrients for your well-being and to help your brain function at its best abilities. So, as this was a very, albeit short, but fact-dense episode, I want to end with types of foods that you should be eating to benefit your brain-gut connection. So that would be fermented foods such as kimchi, sauerkraut, tempeh, natto, yogurt, etc. You're looking for those fermented foods that are fermented naturally. These foods help introduce microorganisms that are good for your gut microbiome and all of the millions of bacteria that live there. Think back to what I just mentioned about probiotics. These fermented foods are good probiotics. Foods with omega-3 fats, such as from fish, like wild salmon, mackerel, tuna, anchovies, and lake trout. Omega-3s are so important for our brain health and have shown to help reduce inflammation in the body and brain. I do want to mention, because this is something that I have been thinking about for a long time, because I used to eat tuna almost every day in my lunches, and then I found out from my mom, actually, how high canned tuna can be of mercury. So be careful with your canned fishes, as you don't need to be eating them every day because they can be high in mercury. And obviously, we don't need that in our gut or in our bodies. So eat those fish a little bit more sparingly, but again, still a great source of omega-3 fatty acids and omega-3 fats. Back to our list. Foods with tryptophan in them, such as turkey, eggs, and cheese. Tryptophan is an amino acid that is converted into serotonin. Foods that are high in fiber, such as nuts, seeds, veggies, and fruits. You might remember I mentioned prebiotics being essentially fiber food for your gut bacteria. So eating this fiber yourself helps feed those gut bacteria and has even been shown to reduce the stress hormones in humans. Lastly, foods/drinks with polyphenol in them. This would be olive oil, coffee, green tea, or cocoa. Polyphenols are plant chemicals that are good for our gut bacteria to eat, which can help with cognition. Overall, from this episode, I want to give a very basic understanding of just how incredibly connected the gut and brain are. It's actually pretty insane. You are what you eat really takes on a whole new meaning. I don't want to scare you off of enjoying foods that may not be as good for you as others. I just think that understanding how your food impacts your mental health also can help you understand yourself even more. There is less guessing as to why you feel off one day, and maybe you remember that you had 4 pieces of Domino's pizza and a brownie for dinner. You don't need to feel shame or guilt from eating those, but you can now see why you might be feeling like you're in a bit of a funk the next day, or you're just not in the best headspace, or your brain is groggy. So all of that is to say, have fun and enjoy food. And that's coming from a foodie. I certainly enjoy food. But make sure that you are nourishing your gut microbiome to support your gut-brain axis. And with that, I will end this week's episode. Again, I know it was jam-packed with a lot of scientific terms. It was very dense, so I tried to keep it on the shorter side. I hope you enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed researching it, and this is just such an amazing topic. I'm so excited to see what science continues to discover about the gut-brain axis. Now with that, I will end this week's episode with a quote, and it is from Imran Meyer, who wrote an entire book about the mind-gut connection, and which has been on my reading list for quite some time now. And his quote, I think, really embodies the idea of the axis on which our brains and guts connect. And he said, "In Chinese philosophy, the concept of yin and yang describes how opposite or contrary forces can be viewed as complementary and interconnected, and how they give rise to a unifying whole and interacting with each other. Please like, share, leave a review, and again, share with any family or friends you think might enjoy this week's topic about the brain-gut connection. And I hope you have a wonderful week and keep consciously blooming into your best self.